Imagine for a moment that a friend calls you one day, very excited, and they say, you won't believe it, but this person says, I have found the perfect church. The perfect church. And you ask them, well, what's this church like? And they say, well, it's, how would you fill in the blank? What do you think the perfect church would look like? Well, in the second chapter of his letter to the church at Philippi, our second reading for this morning, the Apostle Paul, writing from a prison cell on death row, gives us a description of the perfect church. The perfect church, Paul says, is built on grace and not on law. Paul writes, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. So Paul, making his appeal to the Christians in Philippi, makes his appeal not by commanding the believers to do what they're supposed to do, not by threatening them with dire consequences if they fail to do it. But instead, the perfect church is motivated not by guilt or fear, but by the shared experience of God's overflowing grace, the encouragement we have in Christ, the consolation of knowing God's never-failing love, the sweet communion with God that we have in the Holy Spirit, through whom God pours into us his own divine compassion and sympathy. And the more love God pours into our hearts, the more that love overflows from our hearts to those around us, which brings great joy to God's heart and to ours. Paul goes on. He tells us the perfect church is united. Paul writes, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. The free flow of God's grace in our lives binds the church together in perfect harmony and unity as we work side by side, united by the Spirit, working toward the same goal, sharing the same love for each other and for our Lord. The perfect church is so completely committed to Christ and to each other and to the needs of the hurting world around us that it will allow no division, no resentment, no petty squabbles to keep it from accomplishing God's mission. Paul also tells us the perfect church is a church for others. Paul writes, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. In the perfect church, we don't climb over others on our way to the top of the heap, but we gladly take our place at the bottom, at the lowest place, so that we can lift others up, considering their interests before ours. In another letter from death row, Lutheran theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, the church is the church only when it exists for others. And that's why we give so much of our time and energy and resources here at Emmanuel for those in need around us. From our hungry and homeless neighbors here in Carroll County, to those recovering from hurricanes and earthquakes in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico and in Mexico, to refugees fleeing war and famine, Syria and South Sudan, where we are sponsoring a missionary. That's why we fill book bags with school supplies for needy students and holiday food baskets. And right now, getting ready to fill shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child. That's why this month we're gathering socks for the homeless, sponsoring Bibles for families in China who desperately need the Word of God. And next week we'll be taking up a special mission offering for the Residence Assistance Fund at Carroll Lutheran Village. We do all this and more, not to make a name for ourselves as being a wonderful, generous, and giving church, but to make Christ known to others. The one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for others. Paul also then tells us that the perfect church reflects the mind of Christ. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, to be held onto tightly, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." So Jesus didn't hold on to his power and privilege as the eternal Son of God, holding it in a clenched fist, but willingly emptied himself, taking the lowest place, opening his hands to be nailed to a cross, in perfect obedience to his Father's will for you and me. In the same way, the perfect church sees her life not as a possession to be held onto with a clenched fist, but as a gift to be received and to be held in open hands and to be poured out freely for others in willing obedience to our Heavenly Father's loving purpose for us and for all. And finally, Paul encourages us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. So Paul is also telling us, no matter how you search, you will never find the perfect church here in this life, because the perfect church is still under construction, still being worked out in our life together as we seek to reflect the mind of Christ in everything we think and say and do. Becoming the perfect church takes a lifetime of living, loving, and serving God and others in the less than perfect church in which God has put us. And although it takes every ounce of our energy to do this, it is all God's doing from beginning to end, because it all comes from Him and not from us. Does this mean that the perfect church then is nothing more than an unattainable ideal, a goal that we set but know we will never reach? Not at all. Just as God highly exalted His Son, who willingly emptied himself for the sake of the world, so God will raise up his church at last and present her to Jesus as his perfect and spotless bride. Until that day comes, we have work to do. We have people to serve and a world to reach with the love of Jesus Christ. So let God's church here at Emmanuel be the church God has called us to be, grounded in God's grace, united in heart and mind, and dedicated to serving others according to the mind of Christ. And in closing, let me share with you this anonymous poem that I came across somewhere. If you should find the perfect church without fault or smear, please don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church where all anxieties cease, then pass it by, lest joining it, you'd mar the masterpiece. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you ever dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'd be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists, made of imperfect men, then let's cease looking for that church and love the church we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church. That's simple to discern. But you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. So let's keep working in our church until the resurrection. And then we each will join God's church without an imperfection. Thanks be to God. Amen.